So I sat back and I was thinking the other day about all of my friends, and we'd gone to a reunion a couple weeks ago for college. Started thinking about all the friends that we've met along the way, and friends that I've grown up with. Thought about how many of them have gotten married, had kids. I realized, you know, that's really the age-old story. A man and a woman, a deepening relationship, love and commitment. And at some point, sooner or later, a new life. Room made in the midst of that relationship for something wholly new. What would possess two people to do that? To make room for another? To interrupt their rather nice and, well, not necessarily easy, but a little more carefree life? If I were being cynical, I would simply say, it's just the consequence of unbridled lust. Procreation is nothing more than a mere biological urge. Something that propels us forward to make sure, something hardwired into us to make sure that our species continues on. Yeah, some days I feel like that. I might also get sort of antisocial. Say that it's... kids have become nothing more than just another consumer good that we have to show off our status as we dress them up in their Tommy Hilfiger sneakers. Who in the world puts a two-year-old in Tommy Hilfiger sneakers? I don't know. But look, I got one of these. It's the neatest, the newest thing. I mean, there is some sort of weird obsession with kids, especially strange situations of kids. When cable news networks start showing 24 hours of octuplets, or you have reality shows based on, you know, multiple kids, John and Kate, and we got Octoma, That's why sometimes I just get antisocial. Arr, kids. But sometimes I have to face a very clear reality that regardless of what happens after they're born, or even how they're born sometimes, if it is truly a consequence of unbridled lust, sometimes I have to realize that new life, there's a desire for it. That somehow sooner or later the parents said, yes, we want it. That it is an overflowing of the love in their midst. And it may seem kind of odd that this is the beginning of the conversation or the sermon on the Holy Trinity Sunday. But that's the reality. When we talk about Father, Son, and Holy Spirit existing eternally, existing in a perfect relationship, God needed nothing. And yet in the midst of that relationship, God's love overflows. And God wants to share that with another. And so God, this majestic and grand figure, makes space, makes room in its life for human beings, for an entire world. God doesn't make us because God needs us. God makes us because God wants us, wants to bestow his love, his care, his mercy upon us. That's the Trinitarian impulse, that love is given out and overflows. Sometimes in our relationships, when we have a friendship, I had a good friend in high school, and we were pretty good buds. We did everything together. But then he was a year ahead of me, and his senior year, he started hanging out with other people. And other people started coming into our circle. I didn't want that room in there for others, because it took away our time. Their love finds itself spiraling inward. That's not God's way. God's extravagant. God's love spreads out, opens up, makes room. I always love the circular images of the Trinity, the three interlocking circles, or the triquetrus Celtic type symbol, where there's a space in the center that opens up where the three circles interlock. And I always say, that's us. That's where we are. We're in there. God's not afraid to risk that overflowing of love, even when God creates us with the ability to reject that love. God gives us the ability to say, no, I don't want it. In fact, I want to be God myself. Thank you very much. And God answers that no with even more love. So much love that second person of the Trinity, God the Son, is sent to us. Brought into our life. So that we may be brought into God's life. The impulse of the Trinity is consistently to love. Consistently to pursue. Consistently to go after. And overflow upon us. And as such, in the life of the Spirit, God makes a new family, not one based on biology, but one rooted in faith and in hope and in love. This new birth, wrought in the waters of baptism, opening up space in the world for God's presence to be made known here in the church. The Spirit helps us begin to recognize the God in our midst as we welcome Christ and as we go out and we do works of mercy. Whether we're going out helping recovering after floods, whether we're feeding the hungry, whether we're sending quilts to those who are poor, or any other ways in which we carry out our love, carry out God's love to the world. This afternoon it will be the Sunday school children going and singing at a nursing home. God's love overflows, and the Spirit impels us forward, moves us out of our closed little circles to face the world. Sort of riding this tidal wave of love, this Trinitarian impulse in our lives to turn outward, to risk, to be extravagant, to love, to make room for others. We don't carry it out perfectly. We have all sorts of flaws and problems, ways that sin creeps in. But God continues working on us. God continues in the midst to give us His Spirit, to wash us daily, to give us His very own self. Body and blood at the altar. And we're made anew, born anew in water and spirit. We carry out that Trinitarian impulse throughout our daily lives. Throughout our entire lives, carrying God's love into our own lives and into others. Thanks be to God. Amen.